Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my true crime darlings. My name is Tricia Griffith, proud owner of WebSleuth.com, and tonight we are talking about somebody who has been labeled a malignant narcissist, but I don't think that's a strong enough title for this. I'm sorry, he's a dirtbag, scumbag. He's just truly one of the worst people in the world. I'm talking about Chris Watts. And in case you have been living in a cave with the Taliban, Chris Watts has come out because he's decided to give more details about the killing of his wife and his two little daughters. And it's graphic, and it's horrible, and it's heart-wrenching. And Shanann's family, if they weren't traumatized enough already, will never have another decent night's sleep. Just this vision that this ass felt he had to vomit out to everybody. And I'm hoping the next time he says, oh, please, I need some attention. Chris Watts needs attention. I murdered my wife, Shanann, and my two little girls. I have something I want to say. Everybody run to the prison in Wisconsin. I hope they just tell him to shove it and, keep wiping the floors and watch picking up the soap in prison, because he doesn't need any more attention. He needs to go away. He needs to fade away. He needs to rot away. And on that happy note, let me introduce you to the people coming on our show tonight. We have, let's see here, we have, Little Texans. Now, Little Texans, as many of you know, is the one and only amazing moderator in the Watts discussion threads. And Little Texans, welcome to Web Sleuth Radio. Glad you could make it.
Thank you, Tricia.
And I believe we have, I'm going to take a chance here, and Levi Page, are you with us tonight, my dear? Levi, is that you? I guess it's not Levi. Oh, well. Hey, if you want to call in, we're taking calls because I think a lot of us need to vent. We need to get the poison out of our system that is Chris Watts. Now, I had to watch Dr. Phil today because Shanann's parents and her brother were on. And I think this is by far the most emotional show I've ever seen of Dr. Phil, and I've been watching him since day one. And Shanann's mom, Sharon, was talking about how Shanann came to her after she died. And she has this very strong faith that she holds on to, and that's going to save her. I wish I had that kind of faith. I don't. But when you listen to her talk, she is so sincere and so believable that it really is pretty amazing. Of course, her brother, Frankie, is very, very angry, as anybody would be, and everybody can certainly understand his emotions. And then Shanann's dad is just somebody you want to pick up and just hug. The whole family, they've shown class. They've shown even compassion. They didn't ask for the death penalty for the man that brutally murdered their daughter and two granddaughters. Although Dr. Phil said today, after you've heard all these details, killed his wife, how he killed the two little girls, how Bella basically begged for her life, would you say no death penalty? And her dad said, no, he would ask for the death penalty. So anyway, we're going to get into the details here in just a little bit. And if you would like to call in, I'll tell you what, here's the number, area code 713-955-0606. That is 713-955-0606. And I just need to see if this is Levi. Levi Page, is that you? Hitana, is that you? I guess it's neither one. Okay. Oh, wait, hold on. Hitana is texting me. So here we go. Hold on one second here. Let's see. Let's see what this lawyer's excuse is now. Okay. We love her, though. She's amazing. Okay. Oh, she says, give me one second. Okay. Very good. We will. I'll tell you what. While we're waiting for Levi and Hitana, and by the way, I had to invite Levi because we did need a little testosterone in the room here. So he's going to have to take the brunt of a lot of our anger. Oh, man, he's just as disgusted as everybody is. Let's go to Little Texans. Now, I know you haven't seen the Dr. Phil show yet, but you did watch a psychologist on, I believe, the new CNN true crime show that airs at noon or 1 p.m. Eastern on HLN, mm-hmm. I believe it is. And that psychiatrist said something very interesting, and we were talking about it. Talk to us about that. What did she think about Chris Watts?
Yes, so I will be watching the Dr. Phil show as soon as I have time. I watched the first part, the part where they talked about Chris's latest revelations and confession last week. I just have to watch the one, of course, with Shanann's family. So today I saw there's a show called, I believe it's True Crime Live on HLN with Mike Alanos, and he was briefly going to discuss the Watts case. So I wanted to see what he had to add, and he had a local reporter on there to talk about some of the facts of the case and the recent revelations from Chris. But he had Robbie Ludwig on, which I think a lot of people know who she is, Dr. Robbie Ludwig. She's a psychotherapist. Most people have seen her on TV, I think, on TV shows, whatever. And I think she articulated something I'd kind of been thinking but hadn't quite put into the right words in my own mind, because this whole thing has seemed really strange since Chris wanted more attention, again, in my opinion, when he summoned everyone to the prison. And I kept thinking about how, to me, that just seemed like a sadistic thing to do once we found out really what he was talking about, and it seemed like a revictimization. But I think the way she said it really nailed it. Dr. Ludwig said that she felt that it was attention-seeking for him to say all these things now, and that he is basically re-murdering the victims. So it is a revictimization, and she actually said re-murdering, and there is no purpose for what he's other than basically more cruelty. So that just really hit me when she said that.
And that is a great way to look at it. And let's just quickly go over cruelty. Apparently, according to Chris, now take it with a grain of salt. Who knows what the real truth is? He came home Shanann came home that Saturday night. They were fighting. Then they made up. Apparently, they made love, and then they started fighting again. And he admitted he was having an affair. And so she said, "I want a divorce and you'll never see the kids again." And that's when he lost it. He just saw red and he became somebody he didn't know. And he killed her. And then he wrapped her up, put her in the truck, and then took the two girls alive with him, made them sit on the floorboards, took them out to the oil field. And he killed Cece. And Bella said, "You know, don't do to me what you did to Cece," and was basically begging for her life and fought for her life. He did it anyway. And then to get into the oil tanks that are on this this big property, this big field, he had to break their shoulders. And I was listening to Shanann's mom today talk about how they couldn't have their girls cremated because they had so much flammable material in them that it would have literally blown up the crematorium. They couldn't do it. And the oil caused all kinds of gruesome, horrible things that they will live with for the rest of their life. Now, we have somebody on Web Sleuths. We all adore her. She is our verified attorney, one of many, but she's been here for years. Definitely one of our favorites. And boy, she had a lot to say about this case. And I can't wait to hear what she says about this stuff. Hatana, how are you doing, my dear?
I'm okay. I'm dealing with the
I'm dealing with the time change like everybody else is, but
yes.
I'm here. I'm
good.
Alive.
Well, that's good. I usually just drink until I pass out, which I'm going to do tonight. So you guys might have to take over. Hatana, I was very fascinated by what you were posting today about what you're going to talk about tonight. So let's get right to it. What are your thoughts on this evil beast deciding to just tear open these horrible wounds again?
You know, it's really complex, I think. For me, it's really complex. And, you know, I'm not a psychologist, so I'm coming from this or at this from a different perspective. But just looking at these cases for so many years and watching this guy in particular and how he acted from the beginning, and, you know, I have a little bit of a different take. I don't think that he is a person who enjoys hurting others. I don't think that was his prime motive for the killings. I think that he probably did experience some excitement as he was doing it.
mm-hmm. adrenaline just from the act. It's kind of like I wrote something, I think, on Web Sleuth about how it would be similar to what a predator feels when they're attacking prey, like mm-hmm. a cat that grabs a bird, you know. They get that rush of excitement, or any kind of hunter. I think that he probably had that, and in mm-hmm. that sense had some moments of enjoyment, at least when he was killing his wife. But I don't think that was the primary motivation. And I do mm-hmm. think that, you know, I think there's a lot of, there were lies mixed in with the truth. I think mm-hmm. that if you look at these types of people who have fully confessed or ultimately confessed, like Christian Longo is an mm-hmm. example, their confessions are always just a little bit self-serving, even if they give you a lot more information than they did originally, or they confess mm-hmm. to a lot more than they do originally. There's always something that, to me, is a little bit dishonest. And an example was Christian Longo kind of said how his wife just sort of relaxed into being strangled to death, which is absolute BS. There's mm-hmm. no way anyone's relaxing into being strangled, but I think it's a way for him to mitigate what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he started out by saying an intruder did it, and then after that he moved to, well, his wife was killing one of the kids, very much like the initial or the second confession in this case, that his mm-hmm. wife was murdering one of the kids, and so he murdered her and then killed the other children to, you know, because they couldn't live without their mother, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you look at that case and the similarities, there's, even when they finally admit, yes, look, you know, I'm the one who did it all, there's always something that's slightly untruthful. And I think that's very much the same with Chris Watts. There's a lot that strikes me as a little bit odd, but I do believe, and, you know, I wasn't there at the very beginning. I had to have some convincing, you know, but I do believe that it's true that the kids were alive when he took them out of the house and that he killed them at the site. And I don't think, although when you hear the confession, I mean, what he did, what those kids went through, because mm-hmm. I truly believe they knew they were in danger. They instinctively felt it. I think Bella, most of all, she really knew. And he said himself, Bella's smart, and she knew that her mother was dead. I think she probably realized that even at age, you know, four, almost five.
Right.
She suffered a lot. Emotionally, she suffered a lot. Then she watched her sister be strangled. She sat there right next to her and saw her be smothered and strangled by her father, you know, and saw him disposing of the body. I believe all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, but I don't think that he did all of that to cause them to suffer. I mm-hmm. think that there was probably some slight hesitation that he intended to do this. I fully believe it was all very much planned and not an hour before. I think this was days at least in the making.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, there was some procrastination, that it's kind of, you know, it's easier to kill the wife you're no longer in love with than it is the little children you provide care to. Even though this guy, I mean, whatever's wrong with him, we know he doesn't feel emotion like a normal human. There's still something
right.
there. You know, there's still something there. What I wrote down, I put some notes about what I wanted to say, is that this is very, it's always very complex. You know, and I've learned that over the years, that these things are not black and white. It's very easy to say this person is insane. They've got they're a psychopath. That's it. That explains it all. Or they're mm-hmm. just evil. There's something in their soul that's just evil. That explains it all. But, you know, it doesn't. And this case in particular, I think, is an example of that. This is a guy mm-hmm. without a criminal record. He has no domestic violence in his background that we know of. There is no accounts of him torturing animals as a child, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been struck with how some people have posted on Web Sleuth that, you know, I'm really good at detecting something weird. You know, I could see something in Scott Peterson here or there, whatever, different people, but not in Chris Watts. Looking at
mm-hmm.
his photos, looking at videos beforehand, lots of people are saying how there was nothing there that they could pinpoint and say, yes,
there really
there's
wasn't.
Something wrong there. Yeah, there wasn't.
There
and,
really
you
wasn't.
Know, I saw this, no, and I saw this video of him. It was a video of him being told that his wife was pregnant with Cece. And for anyone who hasn't watched it, you really should watch it. It's quite different from the second pregnancy reveal video where he's being told that she's pregnant with Nico. Quite
mm-hmm.
different. And you can see he doesn't know he's being filmed because she's hiding, I think, in a closet. But you
mm-hmm.
see him interact with Bella. And you see him, how he talks so gently to her. And, you know, I think that was real. I think
mm-hmm.
that he did feel an emotion toward these children that, you know, at least he thought was love. So I do think that he was procrastinating in killing them. But I also think that he, when he went out there, that he was unsympathetic to their suffering. And that
yeah.
that was not something he was concerned about. And I do think that he tried to manufacture some anger toward them, some kind of dark feeling in order to be able to do what he did.
I think you're right. And the other thing, too, is when the Watts parents, when Cindy and Ronnie came out, Chris's
mm-hmm.
parents, they really opened up the curtain. We could look behind the scenes at what Chris dealt with growing up. I will never forget this until the day I die. Chris Watts's mother, Cindy, says
mm-hmm.
that the reporter asks her, what happened to Chris?
Yeah.
Shanann happened to Chris. That's what happened to Chris. And I look
mm-hmm.
at Shanann and I look at the mom and I see resemblance. And I know this is going deep into psychological woo-woo stuff, but I really truly believe he was killing his mother. I really do. I think that had a lot to do with it. I think there's some resentment there because she's pushy. She reminds me a lot of Jackie Peterson. Not as bad, but
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Yes.
You know, so that could be. But we do have a male amongst all the females, and we have a lot of callers, and I will be getting to you shortly, I promise. But I believe we have Levi Page here. Levi, are you there, my darling?
I'm here,
Levi.
Trisha. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Now, you've been listening to us. What are your thoughts today? You followed the Chris Watts case and the ridiculous interviews he did when his daughters and wife went missing. It was so obvious that he had done something with them. And everybody just was disgusted when he said that Shanann killed the girls and that's why he killed Shanann, and on and on and on. What are your thoughts today about the latest developments, his new confession that is just more graphic and horrific than anybody could ever imagine?
That the children witnessed all the murder and that one child witnessed the other child being murdered. I think that it's beyond words. There's nothing that I can say. It's sickening. It's disgusting. And this guy is really, truly evil. And he probably should be on death row and be executed if we have the death penalty. But I understand why that he made a deal. But what is so fascinating to me is people always said that he was very quiet, that he's not one to make a scene, that he was very reserved. And I think that he could have been someone that kept a lot of rage inside, that he didn't express his emotions, his opinions, and that he kept up a lot of bottled up anger and resentment inside of him. And I do think that this was premeditated, but I don't think that this was a long, drawn out, premeditated process. I think
mm-hmm.
that he was so angry that he just couldn't contain his anger and his rage any longer.
I think you're right. I think it had a lot to do with it. And it had to be pre-planned because, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Chris Watts tell his guys not to bother to go to that oil field the next day? Why would he do that unless he was already planning that's where he was going to put the bodies? To me, that's premeditated. But I agree, Levi. I don't think it was premeditated for years and months or even weeks. I think it just popped in his head and he didn't realize how bad he was at being a criminal It was immediately we could tell the difference. But I know a lot of people, especially on Web Sleuths, they want to vent. They're disgusted that this man has gotten all this attention. And if you saw Dr. Phil today, if you didn't see it, you need to see it, because Shanann's family beyond heartbroken. But we're going to go to our first caller. She's been on hold for a little over 20 minutes, calling from area code 303. I believe the name is Patty. Patty, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi. Do you have a question, a comment? Do you want to just vent? Whatever you want to do, my dear.
No, I really just wanted to hear what all of you thought of this state of mind. You know, that's basically why. Why?
Exactly.
You know,
there is no why. I mean, there is no real answer, is there? There really isn't.
No.
It is.
No.
You know, even with Scott Peterson, as twisted as that was, he had a you know, a 9-month pregnant wife. And it was the same thing with Chris, but Scott Peterson had been living a lie, and he had told Amber Fry he was this international businessman, and you know, and you can see in his twisted mind why he thought this was the best thing to do. Just throw Lacey away, just like his mom, Jackie Peterson, had thrown him away and thrown a couple of brothers and a sister she put up for adoption. So he just threw Lacey away. But this one, there's not even a psychological thing that you can really hang your hat on, is there?
No. And I mean, divorce, hey, it's a whole lot easier. And the children, that I think that's the thing, that it just breaks everyone's heart here in Colorado. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you are from Colorado, I take it.
Yes.
I'm sure this was just huge where you were. I can't imagine. I know the community all came together. What else could you do? It was, again.
Exactly. And many, many, many people work in the oil fields up here, you know, Anadarko, Halliburton, those kind of areas. And it's just unthinkable, just unthinkable.
It is.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Chris likes the attention. So who knows what's going to happen next time he needs an attention fix. Well, I'll tell you what, Patty, I'll put you back on hold so you can listen. Okay. And
thank you for calling.
Thanks for being a part of Web Sleuth. So hang on, we're going to put you on hold right here. Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's go to area code 901. 901. Are you there, my dear? 901. Calling 901? I think I heard you clear your throat.
No, that was me.
Oh, that was you? Okay.
That was Anna,
Oh, hi, Anna. How are you?
No, it's Tucson 01. That's my first name. I use my regular name.
Oh, okay.
Hi,
well,
I'm 901.
That was me. Yes, sorry. Hello.
There we go. 90. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I had Hitana. I didn't realize I had Hitana open.
Yeah, I just think there hasn't been enough focus put on, and I know there has been on Web Sleuths, but on the things I've seen on television about the infidelity and how that it's really all gets back to that, about how selfishly Chris wanted to have that life he had had while the girls and his wife were on vacation. And so he did what it took to make that life permanent. He thought.
He thought. That's just it. He thought. And you're right. It could very well be that simplistic. I want to have an affair. I've got someone who I think is a hot babe who, by the way, looks almost exactly like Shanann. And maybe he thought that was just the way to do it. And he was fine doing it and didn't have a problem doing it.
No responsibility. Yeah.
There you go. Hot sex, no responsibility. And he had lost all that weight, you know, and he's kind of this hot looking dude now, and three kids tying him down. I believe the statistics say the most dangerous time for a pregnant woman is, for a woman is when she's pregnant, because the father or the spouse ends up murdering her. And this is just another example of that. He didn't want another responsibility. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The other thing I think is that he had really been thinking about this for a long time. I feel sure there was a flirtation going on for a long time at work with the woman. And it, you know, he sort of said that in his interview that if Shanann hadn't gone on this long vacation, if she had only been gone a week, it wouldn't have happened. But I think it would have. I think this was long in the planning, long flirtation, lots of dreaming about this.
Exactly, lots of fantasizing. Isn't it interesting how even then Chris Watts turns it around and blames Shanann? If she hadn't been gone so long, and he should just finish the sentence, if she hadn't been gone so long, I wouldn't have attempted, and none of this would have happened. That's exactly it. Well, listen, my dear, do you have anything else? If not, I'll put you back on hold so you can listen.
Okay.
Okay, I appreciate you calling in, and let's see here. Just I want to make sure I don't hang up on anybody, because, you know, when you're drinking like I am tonight, it can happen. Here we go. I'm so sorry. That's just really bad. I know, but boy, you know, I'm not a drinker. I am not a drinker at all, and I wish I could drink, because I really need it sometimes. I really do, but I get so damn sick. Okay, let's see. Let's go to Little Texans is on. Okay. Okay, if anybody else would like to call in, the area code is 713-955-0606. Sitana, let's go back to you for a minute. You know about these criminals and contacting their lawyers and all of that. With what you know about the system, will this ever happen again? Will Chris Watts ever get this type of attention? Is there anything he could do by contacting his lawyers or investigators to get this kind of buildup with the media?
You know, I don't think that there's going to be this level of interest, at least on the part of the investigators, because I think they were very excited to go out there. And I think what happened is they realized, they got wind of the fact that he was talking very freely to the civil attorney for the Ruzek family, for Shanann's family. And when they realized that, they thought, wait, let's go down there. He's talking and he's admitting to everything. Let's hear what he has to say. And I think that they sat around, they had meetings, they really, really decided how they were going to do this. You know, and I just want to address one thing. There's been some criticism of them being very kind to him, joking around with him. But, you know, make no mistake, these people are professionals. They are incredible professionals, and they knew exactly what they were doing. And while I don't think they necessarily feel – I think they're revolted by him and likely had to take a shower after this. But I don't think they probably hate him. I think they view him as data that they need to extract information from. And, you know, they really – managed what they were going to do, worked out a game plan, and went down there and got the information. And I think they got about as much information that was usable as they probably are going to get from him. The only thing that I think that he could probably do that might be a media event of some sort in the future would be to talk to Shanann's family and to talk to them publicly. Of course, any kind of interview like that at a jail is recorded, so that could come out anyhow. But I did think about that, that at some point her family, some of her family members might decide they want to go down there and talk to him, and I think he would talk to them. So other than that, I really don't think – I think his lawyers are absolutely done with him. He's got – you know, he would have access to appellate lawyers, but there are no appeals planned. I don't believe there was any notice ever filed, and that I think is done. I don't know the exact time there in Colorado, but I don't think that's happening. So there's really no lawyers he can call to say, hey, you know, this is what I want. And I don't think if he called his old defense team that they'd really care at this point. They did their jobs very well, but I think I just get the sense they're done with him.
Right.
So I don't think that there's going to be much else except possibly if Shanann's family wanted to talk to him, you know, that could happen.
It could. And I'll tell you what, especially Shanann's mom, what a loving and incredible woman. And maybe years down the road, she might be able to say, I forgive you. She's not there now, but boy, what a pillar of strength as well. Now, there was a consequence, an unforeseen consequence to this horrific, to these horrific murders. And that is the internet bullies. I have never seen people lose their minds over thinking that Shanann actually killed the girls or Shanann drove Chris to it. There were private Facebook pages that just ripped her apart. There were public Facebook pages that ripped her apart and her family apart. And they addressed that today on Dr. Phil. It was so hurtful and so horrible and so unnecessary. And I want to go to our panel to talk about this because this is my pet peeve about being the owner of Web Sleuth and trying to be taken seriously. We can't when we have lunatics out there deciding that Shanann did it because of some sort of argument over pecans or some crap like that. Anyway, let's start with Little Texans. Little Texans, you've been here since day one on the battlefield, on the Web Sleuth discussion threads. Did you see a lot of social media, people trying to sneak the social media gossip into the threads, into the discussion?
At times. Luckily that has, I think, very much died down. We might have one or two contrarians who, again, might be a little attention-seeking, and we usually know who they are, who might come into a thread and try to stir the pot, whether they actually believe what they're selling, I don't know. Sometimes I think people just don't feel their posts get read, especially in these fast-moving cases. So if they post something provocative, it's more likely to get a reaction because that's human nature. Mm-hmm. We as mods, our job would be easier if a lot of people would not react to those kind of things. But I know it can be difficult. I was a member once, just a member once too, and it can be really hard to not say something to the person who's saying something ugly about a victim. But I haven't seen anything like that recently, really. I mean, like I said, once or maybe one or two people trying to be contrary or trying to say, well, what if? And I really, you and I talked about, and this was just mentioned by the caller, but I really didn't appreciate Chris Watts throwing the shade still at Shanann with the whole, well, she was gone for so long. Really? I don't know. I live in a military city. People are gone for a lot longer than 6 weeks, and they don't annihilate their family. I mean, this cry, poor me. He's such a victim, It's just, well, she left me, and poor me. And it's like, honey, you were living the bachelor life. I mean, you had everything was great for you. And by the way, you could have taken an airplane out there at any time. It's not like she went to the moon. So, I still feel that he is still trying to put some blame on her.
He
physically killed them. But I still feel he's not taking, even with his strange stories, which we may or may not believe all of the details, that he's still putting some blame. Well, if she hadn't done this, well, I wouldn't have had to find a new girlfriend. If she hadn't gotten pregnant, if this and all that. It's always, poor him. And back to the cause, financial reasons also. I mean, a lot. Same with Scott Peterson. A lot of this is money. They start doing the math, and they don't want a third kid, you know. So he had asked her to get an abortion.
That's right.
I think that made it kind of clear then where he stood on Nico at that point. Obviously it was about the other woman as well, but it was also about, oh man, why don't these people get divorces? Well, partly because of money, because they think they're going to get away with it, and they think, then I have no financial responsibilities either. You remember, he was
there
to sell the house. He had called a realtor. Remember that part from way back when? He was always telling his so-called friends, I'm going to be selling the house, all this.
Right.
Who does that? So,
a guilty person.
It's the other woman, or it might have been another woman if it hadn't been that one down the road, but it was, he wanted whatever money he was making to be kept for himself and his bodybuilding and his protein shakes and whatever it is, this macro diet or whatever the girlfriend had on. So, there's multiple reasons there, I think, but he's still really blaming Shanann.
I know. And that's,
she shouldn't have left. She shouldn't have done this. She shouldn't have done that. She shouldn't have gotten pregnant, whatever. He's always going to blame her for some part of this.
And that's so absolutely ridiculous. One thing on the Dr. Phil show that they did talk about was about the bullying that happened. So imagine Imagine you're mm-hmm. Shanann's family, and you have yeah. people you don't even know coming out and forming groups and accusing you and accusing your daughter. It hurts. You, yeah,
they need to
not
read the internet, though.
Exactly,
yeah, they,
but it's,
well, you have to. It would be hard. I don't know.
It's so hard. And Levi Page, you and I have talked a lot about this. We have a new podcast that we're doing called Into the Case, and we're going to be using, not using, but that involving a lot of members of Web Sleuths and members and people who are on the internet. And we want to present ourselves as not some, you know, bitchy, nitpicky, accusatory, crazy people that are out there, but we want to present ourselves as kind and compassionate and just wanting to get to the truth. But Shanann's family, they didn't know anything about this social media, anything about this horrible bullying. And you saw it too, I'm sure, didn't you, with Shanann's family?
Yes, and don't you think that it was a lot of projection on a lot of posters' parts? I think maybe that they might have had a brother or a son or a male
yeah.
member of their family that didn't have a good relationship with his wife, and they projected their own issues onto Shanann, not knowing the situation, and obviously
very well.
Taking it to such an extreme place, blaming a murder victim for her own murder,
mm-hmm.
and a guy that murdered his children, and one child watched the other child be killed, and pled out to her father, "No, Daddy, don't," were some of her last words. And you're defending a man like that and placing blame on the wife that was brutally snuffed out in a horrific, disgusting way. It's odd, but I think a lot of it is projection, that they may have had a brother or someone in their family that didn't have a good relationship with his wife. Maybe the divorce was, you know, highly contested. Maybe
mm-hmm.
he didn't get the custody of the kids that they thought that he deserved. So they projected their feelings onto Shanann, unfortunately. And her family, I can't imagine. Can you imagine having your family member killed in such a horrific way and going on the internet and reading some of the ignorant, thoughtless,
no.
comments?
Makes me crazy.
It absolutely makes me crazy. Very disheartening.
People used to not be ashamed
to post this kind of stuff
yes.
on the internet. But I think as the years go by, people post disgusting things on the internet more and
mm-hmm.
more, and they're getting comfortable doing so. I don't know why, but it's becoming more common, and I think it's sick.
It's becoming more common and more comfortable because they can do it anonymously. Nobody can find them. And that's why I'm a proponent of, at some day, I really feel the internet will require you to reveal your real name if you're going to post an opinion. And Huffington Post did it. Everybody thought that they were going to go under because they demanded that if you're going to post a comment, you have to register with a legit Facebook page. And you know what? Their comments exploded. It's been great. And it really cut down on the hatred that is out there. But when you see her parents and her brother, Shanann's family, just so heartbroken, now they have to have in their mind, playing on a continuous loop, their little granddaughter, their little niece, saying, "No, Daddy, don't." And thinking about their daughter and their other granddaughter. And now these lunatics on the Facebook pages and other social media, and they're still doing it. That's the thing that kills me. There are still people mm-hmm. out there that feel Shanann was bitchy enough that she drove Chris to do that. And Hitana, our verified attorney from Web Sleuths, you've probably seen a lot of that too, haven't you? Being that you've been into this case a lot and you've seen it. Isn't that just shocking?
You know, it is. And it unlike little Texan, I rise to the bait, I guess. It's just because, you know, I can put myself in the shoes of the family and talk about kicking a dog when it's down. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's just no mercy. It's insane. I actually saw I saw a comment on one of these crazy pages where when he finally confesses to everything, and all this time they've been saying, no, no, we still don't believe it, you know, this is going to come out eventually. She did it. You know, she killed the kid. When he finally confesses, one person said, well, I still blame her. In fact, I blame her more than ever because she didn't fight back and try to save her kids. That's what this person said.
Oh, my God.
One of these crazy pages. And I think, you know, yes, the anonymity of the Internet, absolutely, I agree with Levi, there's some projection going on, but I also think that there is some just hatred of women involved in some of it, hatred of women, because, yeah, I think most of these people are women who are making these, and I think they just absolutely couldn't stand Shanann from the beginning. She seemed, you know, just, she had sort of this perfect life, and she really advertised that on the Internet. It was part of her job, but you know, this is something that I think causes a lot of jealousy and anger and resentment in people, that they projected that. You know, they're so used to seeing all these people who have these seemingly perfect lives on Facebook and make them feel bad about their own. And, of course, the reality is, you know, Shanann's friends knew that that wasn't what the life was like. In the background, she's actually lamenting to them, I think he's cheating on me, he doesn't love me anymore. But, you know, people really take it to heart when they see these glowing Facebook posts. And I think that there was a lot of projected anger about that, about the fact that she's attractive, she was successful, nice house, you know, the good-looking family, beautiful kid. And I think right there, there was some resentment of that. And also, I think that, you know, Shanann really transcended a lot of sort of gender norms when it comes to, you know, sort of traditional attitudes that still prevail about what a woman is supposed to be like. She made more money than her husband. She was a dominant personality. She led that family. And people didn't like that. They really reacted viscerally to that. And he came across as a very sweet, kind of quiet guy. And, you know, they felt she was maybe a little bit of a ball buster at times. And they hated her for that. To the point that even in the face of all the evidence that was there and that eventually, you know, his plea of guilty, all of that, they just couldn't let it go. Even now, they can barely let it go. And I also want to say that I do think his family played a huge part in that. I think that, know, they really helped spread some of the rumors. They said some terrible things about her on the Internet, about Shanann. And, you know, these were people who reacted pretty viciously to her and her relationship with Chris from the get-go, sabotaging her wedding shower, not going to her wedding at their wedding at all. So I think, you know, you've got a combination of factors, you know, all the way from anonymity to the family of the murderer stirring the pot, and it's led to something that's uglier than I've seen, you know, on the Internet
It really was awful. And let's remind everybody, because at the beginning this information came out, Chris's mom didn't go to the wedding. And what was the shower? Did they not go to the shower either? The wedding shower?
They didn't invite her friends.
They didn't what?
And then they served. They didn't invite her friends. They were in charge of sending out the invitations and apparently purposefully did not invite her friends to the wedding shower.
Right.
And then served food that she herself couldn't eat due to her different, you know, dietary restrictions. None of them actually went to the wedding except his grandmother. So his entire family didn't go except his grandmother.
Yeah, that speaks volumes.
It does, because I don't care, you know. It doesn't matter unless they're marrying some kind of, you know, scary criminal or domestic mm-hmm. abuser. I think you have to go and support your kid and put aside your feelings and,
yep.
you know, do what you can to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't like, it's not about you. And I, you know,
right.
I think that that speaks kind of some volumes about that family. And, mm-hmm. you know, it reminds me, you know, I think it was Levi who, or it wasn't you, Tricia, saying that it was like he was killing his mother.
Yes.
And in a sense, I think
Tricia.
That there's a part of that there. I think that there's a possibility, a great possibility based on some of these behaviors I've seen both before and after, that, you know, he was raised by a narcissist. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they tend to try to annihilate their children's identities because
mm-hmm.
the only identity that matters is their own.
It's their own.
And,
right.
Yeah, there can definitely be simmering resentment and rage, as Levi mentioned. And, you know, there might have been something in that. He picked a woman that I don't think Shanann was a narcissist at all, but she was a very dominant person. She had a
mm-hmm.
dominant personality and probably much like his mother. She,
mm-hmm.
she navigated his life. And, you know, if you have no identity because it's been annihilated by a narcissistic parent or whatever the case may be, I think, you know, how does he know what he wants? He's really living a life that's not really his. And I think that there can be a lot of resentment
mm-hmm.
that builds up. And I can see that he, the act of killing his wife was really the act of killing and punishing his mother, you know,
yes.
for creating him as he was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's a lot of interesting psychology behind all of it.
There is, and I really hope somebody that knows about this and that is
mm-hmm.
has common sense writes a book. Dr. Keith Ablo wrote a book about Jackie Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great, but then Dr. Yeah. Ablo kind of just went off into la-la land and it just
mm-hmm.
started being nutty. And it's like, God, how could you be so informative and brilliant? And then it's like you're turning around and telling me the Keebler elves are real. I mean, he just, to me, he just went off the deep end. So I'm really hoping somebody picks up his mantle and goes with it, you know, and writes
yeah.
a great, great book. Well, I'm hoping for Shanann's family and friends. Oh, by the way, before I get to that, Colorado was thinking about coming on the show, but we had a long talk today, and she said I could talk to you about this. Colorado is a verified insider on Web Sleuth in the Watts case. She knew Shanann, and she said that this particular situation that just happened really
mm-hmm.
just knocked her for a loop, and she didn't feel like she had anything she could offer. It was just so, I keep using the word horrific, but that's just the best way to describe it. What Chris Watts did and what he described was so awful that I think the thought of even trying to come on a podcast and talk about it was overwhelming. And people like Colorado and Shanann's other friends, and especially her family and loved ones, they need to heal. And I just
mm-hmm.
hope to God this monster doesn't feel the need to sit there and jump in every 2 years and create some sort of awful scenario where he gets to come out and start ripping open these wounds once again. So
mm-hmm.
I'll go around the table one more time, and then we'll call it a night, and hopefully everybody in Shanann's life, everybody in her circle will be hopefully find some sense of peace. Maybe they never will, but hopefully they can start tonight after we shut this guy down and just remember Shanann and the girls as the beautiful people that they were. Let's start with Levi Page. Levi, your final thoughts, please.
You know, I think that this brings up a lot of trauma for Shanann's family because they agreed to have him serve life in prison so they would not have to go through a penalty phase and drag this out more. And I think that with Chris Watts saying all of these things, and in particular trying to blame Shanann Watts, is kind of twisting the knife even more, which is kind of sadistic and shows you how evil he really is. And I think that it's time for us to close the book on Chris Watts. I think he's a very evil man, very disturbed, and what he did was ghastly, especially to his small children that had to witness such depravity and had to be in such fear. Can you imagine them in the vehicle riding to the oil fields, not knowing what their fate is and what was going through their minds? It's hard to grasp that. Just think of yourself as a child and your father committing such a brutal act on your mother, and then riding to those oil fields, not knowing what awaits you, not knowing what he's going to do. And this is someone presumably that had showed no signs of this in the past, and they were probably taken completely off guard, and their world flipped upside down because this is someone that they loved.
It's very, very tragic. And Levi, before I let you go, you have like a bunch of podcasts. You're so busy. What's your latest podcast? It's Crime and Scandal. And what's coming up next time?
So I just released an interview with Diane Diamond. She's an investigative reporter. She used to work for Court TV, and she has covered Michael Jackson for decades, since the 90s. In fact, she was the first reporter in 1993 to report that Michael Jackson had been accused of child molestation. And then again in 2003, a decade after that, she broke the story that his ranch, Neverland Ranch, which is like a mini Disney World with theme parks and animals, it's like a circus Disney World type of thing, that was being raided, and he was being investigated again for child molestation. And now with the documentary, the two-part documentary there on HBO, Leaving Neverland, I interviewed Diane Diamond to get her thoughts on the new allegations of child molestation against Michael Jackson. And she's been covering him for decades up until he died in 2009. And it's very interesting and enlightening to get Diane's thoughts as a reporter. And she's also interviewed an FBI profiler that wrote the profile of a pedophile. And she compares that profile to Michael Jackson's actions and the alleged grooming of all of these victims that say that they were abused at the hands of the King of Pop. So it's an interesting interview. Just search Crime and Scandal on whatever podcast app you have, and that's up there right now.
Thank you, Levi. And we'll be releasing another edition of Into the Case shortly, and sometime this week, hopefully. And it's the Drummond case, terrible case, elderly couple. He was beheaded. His head has never been found. The wife was thrown into a lake, and it weighed down heavily. Nothing was stolen. There was nothing in their background. It just happened. So that's one that Levi and I
just got back from Georgia.
Yes,
and we're going to tell you about our trip there to the lake. We were on the lake, and it was extremely enlightening, and we had a very nice couple take us out on their boat, Diane, and it was very interesting. We got a feel of what could have happened.
We did. We got a very good feel for it, and we'll be talking all about that coming up. So all kinds of things happening. Levi, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And you know, you're always welcome
here.
Thanks, Tricia. And we'll talk to you soon. Hitana, I love it when you post. And I know I shouldn't like play favorites, and I don't. I've had to chastise you a little bit here and there, occasionally, rarely. I really do look forward to when you post, because I know it's going to be enlightening and I'm going to learn something. I'm really curious as to what your final thoughts are on this case. Are you and everybody else, are we all really ready to move on?
You know, I think that, you know, Colorado made a post sort of to that effect that, listen, you know, I don't want to give this guy any more attention. And it really struck me. I do think that we should be ready to move on. You know, I don't think that he is getting pleasure from revealing these details. I think that there was a measure of absolution involved, that he really did want to unburden himself. And I've seen that in people. They want to confess certain things. It's why confession in the Catholic Church is such a big deal. You know, it makes they want to lighten their burden a little bit. But I also think that it is probably very true that he enjoys the attention. He wants to be a good boy. And I think that's something that he's been since he was small. But the only kind of real identity he has is getting approval and, some form of attention from others as a good boy. And he thinks by confessing, well, that's what they want. So then he's going to get this attention. And, it's very interesting. Again, going back to this Christian Longer case, Christian Longer, the victim's family, his wife's family, they have never really been able to move on because that bastard keeps bringing things up, keeps twisting the knife in various different ways by giving interviews. The latest is that he's been on this push to allow his organs to be donated, which he thinks is a noble thing. But it's just agonizing for the families. And so I do think that at a certain point, we need to let these people rot in prison, and there's not much more we can learn about them. And, we just need to let it go. So I'm on board with that for sure. Yeah.
Well, that's good. And we certainly do have a million other cases on Web Sleuths that we can turn our attention to. But Hetana, it's always a pleasure, and I appreciate you taking time out of your very busy schedule to help us on Web Sleuths, to help us understand the law, and we love it. So keep on coming on, okay?
Thank you.
And let's go to my partner in crime here, somebody that is by my side when I'm hysterically crying because I can't take it another minute. Little Texans, final thoughts since you were on this case from the very beginning on Web Sleuths. Little Texans, are you there? Where'd you go? Where are you? Hold on. Little Texans, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear. I don't know what happened. That was very weird.
I had to call back in, so I think that's why the call dropped on me.
Gotcha. Anyway, did you hear my question? Yes, I did.
I've been ready to move on from this case for a while. I mean, for the most part, obviously, it will come up from time to time, and it's sort of like Lucas Hernandez. Like when there's an anniversary, someone's birthday, I mean, I expect people to post. That's just what happens. Mm-hmm. If there's a memorial or a scholarship, people are going to post. But it's a solved case. So I think I called you the day that the thread was kind of going crazy a couple of weeks ago with this news that, I called you and said, what's going on with the Watts case? Because I had to catch up and I didn't know something else had happened. My first thought was that something maybe had happened to him in prison. Then I found out that he wanted to have a little, he wanted to have this interview. I of course, respect Hatana's opinion immensely as well. I actually disagree, though, about the attention-seeking. I think he absolutely enjoys the attention and actually causing others pain. I really do. I really do think there's a sadistic side to him. I'm not saying that's his only side. I don't think he has much of a personality of his own to begin with. But if you want to confess, and I say this as someone who's raised Catholic, Catholics are taught to do it in a private manner with a priest. If you want to confess, you make a private confession. Maybe you do a private confession to the family even, or write a letter or something, not that they want it. This, public, it's these sickening details that he now decides he has to, because he's, found Jesus in the last 2 months? He didn't just find Jesus. First of all, he was raised in a semi-Christian home. So it's not as if he didn't know who Jesus was. So don't give me that talk of, he found God. No, this he realized that people had moved on from him. And the other thing that I found really annoying about him was, when he would say, oh, I didn't know this was going to go national. And at the beginning, it did seem that maybe did irritate him because he wasn't controlling the narrative. But now he's sitting there in prison with nothing better to do, and now he can control the narrative. So I actually think we'll hear from him again. I think he'll go on Dateline 48 hours if he lives. I mean, he doesn't have the best self-preservation skills. I don't know why anyone who's in prison for these murders of little children, your own children, would give these details out for all of the other inmates to hear. But if he's still alive, I think he'll be on 48 Hours or Dateline or 2020 or something in the future. He'll probably cry about it. There's rumor that he wants to be a mentor to other prisoners. Please.
God.
So, you know, I think he likes the attention. And now he's, you know, he's got all this time on his hands, you know, no wife, no kids, no mistress. So.
Yeah, it's going to get really difficult for him when he realizes that nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Nobody cares. Yeah. We just want him to go away.
Yeah, good. Exactly, Hitana. Well, ladies, again, thank you very much. And thank you for all of your help and your participation on Web Sleuths. It means the world to me and to our other members. So thank you. We'll have you on again real soon on another case, a case that perhaps a cold case that needs a little heat, okay?
Great. Thank you, Tricia. Hey,
thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And thank you to everybody who called in. We really, really appreciate your participation as well. WebSleuths.com, that's where you can go to discuss true crime. We do have very strict rules there, and I get all kinds of crap for that all the time. But I'll tell you what, thousands of people come on WebSleuths every day, and they post without a problem. It's a place where you can go. You know you won't be bullied. If somebody tries to bully you, we come down hard on them. Okay, we try and keep the conversation civil. We do our best. We have volunteer mods that are the most incredible, loving, smart, greatest people in the world. I can't say enough good about our moderators and our members. You spend a lot of time trying to help, trying to find things out, discussing these cases. And we have thousands, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of them on Web Sleuth. So thank you for your participation. Tricia Griffith saying so long. We'll see you on WebSleuth.com. Take care now. Bye-bye.